I really feel like this is really going to be a good show. I really pray and hope that this show blesses someone. Today, we're going to end 2019 off in a good way. Yes, yes. I want you to look at that special person. This is a nice belly rubbing music. Yes, won't hold me tonight, baby. If you at work, I want you to go find your work husband, find your work wife, tap him on the shoulder and say, hey baby, let me get this dance. Yeah, they're everywhere, so be careful when you dancing with your work wife or work husband. Don't get caught on cheaters. Okay, okay. Let me slow down before I have somebody ended up in HR. Please make sure that the dancing with your work wife and work husband is consensual. Ken is not responsible for anybody getting fired this upcoming week. So let me get it out the way. Let's get this show started off correctly and properly. Testing 1-4-3. Testing 1-4-3. It is all love, baby. Welcome to the Ken Corner Podcast. We are now at the end of the year 2019. Man, this has been a great journey, man. 2019, man. We are on episode number 38. So first of all, let me start off by saying thank you so much for allowing me to be here with you. You could have been any place else, but you have chosen to be with me. And so what I need you to do is continue to download, continue to stream, continue to share, continue to retweet, continue to tell a friend. Subscribe. I'm on all major and minor streaming networks and DSPs, wherever you consume your podcast entertainment, I'm there. So please continue to make sure you're subscribing, and so that you will be able to never miss a moment of the Ken's Corner Podcast. So again, as I said, we are on episode number 38. You can also reach me at my website at www.canscorner.co, and that is www.canscorner.co. All right. So want to also recognize Kwanzaa. You'll be listening to this. It'll be near purpose. So make sure you understand what your purpose is in life, man. Celebrating the seven principles of Kwanzaa. I'm going to talk about my Christmas was very good, man. I really truly needed this Christmas to be a special Christmas. But before I get into that, I'm getting ahead of myself. I want to start off with some very important news, and unfortunately have to start off with my prayers and condolences to the three people who were murdered in a shooting in White Settlement, Texas. Police in Fort Worth confirmed that two parishioners and the gunman were killed after a shooting in a church in White Settlement, Texas. Unfortunately, I did see the video, and I say unfortunately because I clicked on it, but I thought it was just a still, but then I clicked on it, it was actually a video, so I don't like to see things like that. I never want to be desensitized to death. That is something that I don't believe that we should ever get used to watching on any type of throughout the internet or anything like that. Fortunately, there was a security guard there, and there were also parishioners who had training to use a firearm, so they were, you know, the response time was, you know, pretty quick. But unfortunately, we live in a time and a day where you are not safe to go to church, and the one place where you're supposed to be able to be safe is in your place of worship. You should not have to worry about going to the mosque or going to the kingdom hall or going to the temple or going to, you know, the church and worrying about somebody coming in there and killing you. Unfortunately, for my people as African Americans, we have been sort of used to this. Unfortunately, there is still an element where our churches have been bombed, our churches have been shot at through racism and white supremacy and things of that nature. And so I empathize with all families when it comes to situations like this. You know, the one place that is supposed to be safe, the one place that you're not supposed to go on edge, the one place that you're supposed to believe that you're safe. You know, so again, my prayers and condolences are going out to that family. You know, I don't even know what to say. You know, what is the understanding in that? How do you process that? How do you, you know, if we're going to keep it all the way 100, it can make you question God, because that's where you go to pray. You're taught that God is going to protect you. You are taught that, you know, this in this place. And, you know, I just pray that this doesn't allow people to have a sour outlook on God, but it could potentially have a bad outlook on God. And I just pray that that doesn't happen. But, you know, people are going to need a lot of therapy. People are going to need a lot of comfort and things of that nature. So, again, my thoughts go out to those families and to that community for that. So again, going back to this today, I'm so thankful that I'm thankful. It's a melancholy day for me in the sports world because, yeah, the Browns lost, and it's bittersweet, man, because there were high expectations, and we lost to the freaking Bengals. I mean, to lose to the Bengals, our interstate rivals, who just pretty much suck ass, and to lose to them in the fashion in which we lost to them, it was just bad. And Freddie Kitchens probably took 3 steps off the bus and got fired. And you never want to see anybody lose their job. You know, everybody has a profession, a purpose. You know, going back to Nia, purpose, Kwanzaa, make sure you celebrate Kwanzaa. Everybody has a purpose in life. Freddie Kitchens is, you know, wanted to be a football coach. And, you know, he may get another opportunity somewhere down the line. Who knows? So you never want to see, you know, people lose their job just based upon that. Now, if he did some real dumb stuff, you know. But anyway. And so, yeah, he lost his job. And I just believe he was way over his head in the first place. I think he wasn't really given a formula for success. I don't think that he wasn't given. Yeah, he wasn't the right person for this job. Greg Williams should have been the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. Our team was undisciplined. Our team did not present itself week in and week out as really being a team that was prepared schematically to play. we weren't prepared schematically to play. And yeah, that unfortunately falls on the head coach. But let's not, you know, John Dorsey has to take a lot of responsibility for this because he hired him. And I don't know what he saw in Freddie Kitchens. He seen, Freddie Kitchens seems like he's a likable guy. He seems like he's a likable guy. And sometimes you get hired based upon who you know and how you, you know, present yourself in interviews. And I don't know what the X's and O's, you know, type of guy he is and what he looks like. And so we'll see who's going to be next. Unfortunately, Wilkes is going to be gone as a defense. I think Wilkes is a good guy, but our defense is terrible. And it's a lot of holes in our defense that, you know, a lot of things that our defense was we got exposed on. So we really have a lot of work to do. Cleveland has a lot of work to do. So, again, we're on the clock. We have the 10th pick in the draft. So Cleveland fans, start looking at mock drafts. Who's going to be the 10th pick? Who can we get? I'm going for a lineman or a linebacker. Offensive lineman, offensive tackle, or a lineman. That's what we need. That's what we need. We don't need a new receiver. We don't need – we need a lineman or a linebacker to start, and we can work our way out, work from there. So that's that. Next thing, man, I'm so happy that I'm happy, man, because I hate Ohio State. But I'm not an Ohio State fan. And it's not – I'm so happy to see Ohio State fans unhappy. I'm so happy. See, this is my sports segment of the Ken's Corner podcast. This is not going to be a very long podcast, but this is my sports segment. I'm so happy that Ohio State fan is not happy. And, yes, Ohio State had two key penalty calls, two calls against them. One, the targeting, which was not targeting, and then the catch, which was ruled incomplete, which was ruled not a catch. Those two things hurt. But what really hurt was, I believe, the four or five trips in the red zone and you coming away with field goals. That's what really hurt. That's what really hurt. And you had no answer for Sunshine. Yes, that's what I call the quarterback for Clemson. That Sunshine, that had no answer for him. And he pretty much just torched you on the ground. And it's funny, when I was sitting with my fraternity brothers and they, you know, he's not a running quarterback. I said, oh, yes, he is. But they had never seen Clemson play. And so he can run. Yeah, he's not, you know, again, everybody wants to be Lamar Jackson. No, he's not Lamar Jackson, but that boy can run and he can throw and he got an arm. So the national championship game is set up with LSU and Clemson. My major college team that I root for, Michigan, will be playing Alabama, which ought to be an interesting game all within itself. I want to review, and I'm going to say spoiler alert, I'm going to review Kevin Hart's documentary, Don't F This Up. Now, going into it, I thought it was going to be a comedy special. That's what I was expecting. And that's what I wanted. However, what I got is what I needed. And what I needed was to see that documentary. And that documentary was very uplifting to see from his point of view, his perception, his life, where he came from, what made him who he was. He talked about his controversy. His two biggest controversies was his issues with his wife and the infidelity that he had with his wife, and also that the situation with the Oscars dealing with the LGBTQ community. Want to address the issue with the wife. The issue that I have with the issue when it comes to that is looking at different social media responses and how people, and mostly women, but now I've started to see a lot of guys come to Kevin Hart's to the aid of Kevin Hart's wife, and how, you know, girl, you ain't have to go through all that. You ain't have to be with him. And girl, why is it that it was a guy that said this, why do women have to be trained to take guys' BS and, you know, always going back, and, you know, that stance. my stance on that response is that that is marriage. And what a lot of people don't understand is that marriage is a line of decision making based upon choices and things that people make. And what happens is that people rank within marriage certain things as what's high to low. So infidelity is always going to be the number one thing. Really number two, abuse. Now, again, I don't believe. OK, so abuse is one of those lines. I don't think is a line that, in my personal opinion, should never be crossed. Once you start abusing, whether it's male or female, domestic violence is never, ever, ever acceptable. A man should never put his hands on a woman. And conversely, a woman should never put his hands on a man. If you in same partner relationship, just keep your hands off your partner. Sorry. So domestic violence is really the one where I believe that it's okay. Hey, you might want to go ahead and step away from that particular relationship. After that, everything else is you can pretty much work out. All right. Everything else you can pretty much work out. Now, in domestic violence, I also put in verbal abuse. I also put in rape. I also put in like anything of that. Outside of that, everything else can be worked out. And if a woman chooses to stay, she is not being conditioned. She is not being brainwashed. She is not, though. She's just choosing to fight for her marriage. She is choosing to do that. Now, has she chose to leave Kevin Hart? Guess what? That's a choice that she can make too. And guess what? She's right either way. She's right either way. And so when people, and it's funny, the same people that say that usually are single. Like usually, honestly, 75%, at least in the realm that I look in, and close to 75% of the people who say that are single. And it's a reason why you're single. Well, you know what? I got standards. Yep. And you 45, you 48, you 50 years old, and you want a relationship. But in a relationship, there is going to be, you know, whatever your, and again, that's again, going back to those relationships, whatever, what do you consider those lines that you can't cross, or what's not you can't cross, but what do you consider those, the straw that's going to break the camel's back? And when it's not the straw, it's not that one straw that breaks the camel's back. It's a thousand other straws that's under that one, the last straw that breaks the camel back. But if that's not you, then another person's relationship, that's their relationship. Another person may be money. Another person may be, you know, job. You know, it's a lot of things. So it was that. It was the reaction to that. And then to the LGBTQ community. I just think that, again, now whatever Kevin Hart believes that he did, right or wrong, how he feels about it, it is up to him. He's the one who lived with it. He's the one who had to go through it. He's the one who felt like, at the end of the day, he was wrong for what he did. With that being said, you know, there's many people who believe that he was bullied into that. You know, some people can believe that we was bullied into that. And but I think the main thing that I got, it was a couple points that I want to point out. Regardless if you believe his wife should have stayed or if you agree that they should work it out, regardless if you believe he should have apologized for the jokes about the LGBTQ community or he was right not apologize or he should apologize, whatever side you stand on. I think that one of the points that you should walk away from this documentary is growth. And I love it what he said, and he's been saying this for a while, and which I totally agree with, is the fact that we should be allowed to grow, mature. We should be allowed to do that. And when do we come to the point where we cannot mess up? Like, we have to be perfect every day, all day. And when we have those moments where we mess up and we've done what we supposed to do to pay our debts and to be sorry and to really show true remorse and true repentance. You know, and repentance is a change of mind, a change of heart, which leads to a change of action. When you've done all those things, you shouldn't have to be continued to be reminded and beaten over the head about it. You shouldn't. But yet we live in this culture where you have to keep, no, man, you know. And so I love that. And then the other thing that really, really touched me, man, was his whole thing about his dad, man. That part brought me to real tears, man. So shout out to Kevin Hart. Shout out to Netflix for that particular partnership. You know, you may, whether you feel Kevin Hart is a funny comedian, that's you know, again, that's very, you know, it's an objective thing, but the person who he is, man, thank you, Kevin Hart, for just inspiring me to continue to keep on. If I never meet you in person, thank you for inspiring me to do better, to continue to do better, to continue to grow. And I appreciate the special. So again, the special is Don't F This Up. And yeah, that was good, man. That was good. And the second thing I want to talk about, I was listening to, as I always do, the Joe Budden podcast, and he was talking about, if he had Justice on, not this past episode, the episode No Cigarettes in the Church, and Justice was, they were talking about the picture with Eddie Murphy, Chris Rock, Dave Chappelle, Kenan Thompson, and my man from Tracy Morgan from the OG, and they were joking and, you know, serious, but, you know, I don't know if it was Joe Budden, I don't know who said it, but they were saying how Kenan and Tracy Morgan didn't belong in that picture, and Justice was like, you know, why not? And Justice is the manager of Black and Summer Walker, and one of the things that he said that I'm glad he said publicly, and it's, you know, one thing that, you know, I've had this conversation with people, and I've heard this, you know, other people say it publicly, is as Black people, why do we have to be perfect? Why can't do you know that Black people, especially in our own community, that we're the only ones that have to be perfect, and we treat each other that we have to be perfect? And here's my example. If a Black-owned business, and I'm an entrepreneur, I have my own catering company, Good Catering, and we're licensed everywhere in Ohio. If I do one thing wrong as a caterer, there is a 70% chance, especially if a Black person, you know, employs me or uses my services, it's a 70% chance that person will never come back, and he or she will say, this is why I don't mess with Black businesses. But yet that same Black person will go to Walmart, and we all know how Walmart treats its customers. 20 lines open, only two will be open, long lines standing around. We know this, but you'll go back to Walmart. And it was funny. I saw 6 people post about their treatment of Walmart and how they get sick and tired. I get sick and tired of continually going to Walmart and getting treated this way. Then why you go back? But if you do this if a Black business does anything remotely bad, then we're all over them. We got to be perfect. We can't ever mess up. We can't be mediocre. And the point he was making about that picture is Eddie Murphy, David Chappelle, and Chris Rock are all legends. And people were saying that Kenan Thompson and Tracy Morgan didn't belong in that picture because they're not on the same level as them. But at the end of the day, they are all different levels of Black excellence. And the point is that we as African Americans, we just have to do a better job of, yes, we want to be the best in everything that we do. But if the best that you can do, like I tell my sons, I have 4 sons. I tell my sons, I never tell my kids to get straight A's. I never tell them. I say, but you have to go in and do your best. But if your best is a C, daddy's happy with a C. If you come in, you're doing your homework, you're doing the best you can on your test, you're getting tutoring, and you're not just, you know, messing around in class or anything. You got good behavior. You're doing all everything, and the best you can do is a C. Daddy okay with that? I'm okay with that. I mean, because everybody not an A student. And in my and in my community, what I want to teach my kids is to be the best they can be. So let's work on doing that within our community, man. We can't hold ourselves to a high standard, but if we fall short, it ain't the end of the world. Let's not, you know, kill each other over that. So deep breath. And guess what? Hey, I still don't have an intern. Nobody answered the call for an intern. Ken's Corner is looking for an intern, and nobody answered that. So I'm going to go one more week, but I got my own water. So let me, because this next topic is going to be kind of heavy. So I'm going to talk about something very personal. All right, here we go. I told you that this podcast was started because of it's therapeutic. And I've been diagnosed with depression. And there are many things that led to it. But there were a couple things that really unlocked it. So what I've learned in this journey as I deal with this depression is that trauma unlocks a lot of things within you that you have suppressed for a long time. And I'm going to do my best not to paint broad brush pictures or make broad brush statements. I'm only going to come from my experience and my experience only, and the experience of those who I have had interactions with. For me, as an African-American male, and the way I was brought up, unfortunately, as I expressed in previous podcasts, I was born, you know, in what you will call the right way, mom and dad. But unfortunately, nothing to do with me. They got divorced. They split. My mom moved back to Cleveland. And for whatever reason, my dad wasn't active in my life. Not having that is a big trauma. And it's not to make excuses for decisions that I make, that I take responsibility for. However, it does give some reasoning for some decisions that I make. It does give reasonings for how I emotionally I'm built, because I was raised by my mom. Now, my mom is a strong woman. However, in my personal opinion, which is not the gospel, but in my personal opinion, I don't believe that a woman can teach a man how to be a man. I don't believe that a woman can really teach a man how to be a man. So as a boy growing into being a man, there are emotions that I didn't know how to deal with as a boy. Now, does emotions have gender? No. However, I do believe that gender, there are different ways that genders act out emotion. So with that being said, not having that consistent male role model around to properly be able to talk those things out was a detriment. And the emotional scars and those things that happen. So we fast forward gears. Again, I've done a TED talk on it. Please look at my TED talk about that. And I'm entering in and out of relationships and things of that nature. And I am literally trying to figure it out without any guidance from the person with my same last name. None whatsoever. So I'm piecing together what it means for me to be a man, what it means to be a father, what it means to be a husband. And I don't have a reference point from the person who brought me in this world with my same last name. And so that is a big trauma. Seeing certain things growing up in my household, seeing how my mother struggled, seeing roaches, seeing, you know, certain things on the street, like seeing certain things as a kid that it should not be made normal, but it was. And not to, again, I had a really good, you know, if you're going to compare and contrast childhoods, I believe I had a good childhood, but I do believe it could have been better in a lot of areas. So that trauma, you know, the trauma of losing the job who I really felt was my dream job, that I really felt was my purpose, what I really felt was my calling, to lose it in the mannerism in which I lost it, I had to admit that hurt. I became angry. I lost my confidence. You know, I'm even today, as you're listening to this podcast right now, I've spoken in front of thousands of people. I've, you know, in one setting and over periods of time, I have, you know, I've done a lot, but in every one of those things, there was a certain part of, I did it for acceptance. I did certain things for some type of acceptance. And when I came to the Central State University taught me how to be a man. I was able to blessed to have a mentor like Dr. Joseph Lewis. I was able to see a Dr. Arthur E. Thomas. That's where you get love, trust, and respect comes from, Dr. Arthur E. Thomas. And so when I had these strong African-American men that just, you know, my other mentor, Mr. Gillis, my other mentor, Rance, my other mentor, Bear, like when I was able to get that and then to have the opportunity to work there and to shape those minds. And again, I wasn't the perfect employee. I'm never going to admit that. I'm never going to sit here and admit that. But I know the contributions that I gave. I know what I did for them. I know. And to have it end the way it ended, it hurt. I was angry. I was hurt. It would hurt bad. And still having some of those connections with some of the students, and would go to try to help. And then each time I would come on campus, it was reminding, I thought of myself as a failure. And then, you know, relationship that I really invested a lot of time into, you know, just ended. And yeah, it's when you invest in relationships, when you invest in people, and regardless of how, and again, I'm gonna do another podcast on how relationships begin and end. Because again, those are all relative on the perspective of how you look at things, and it can be considered right or wrong. So I'm open to those things and everything like that. But however, when you invest in a person, when you invest in people, and then them people just turn their back on you, that hurts. That hurts. It hurts. And so when that happens, then what ends up happening is, for me, I stop looking at the people who actually did love me, to the person who was really in my corner, to the person who really didn't do anything to me to hurt me, to the person who really truly saw me through this whole thing. I started to look at my relationships wrong. I started to, like, I lost confidence. I lost everything. I mean, in my mind, I lost everything, because everything that I thought was important was taken from me. But the things that I really had was still there, but I still didn't look at it. I remember one time I was sitting at the dinner table, wife, kids, everybody in front of me. And I remember looking, and I remember just wanting to get up from the table and walk out. And I remember saying to myself, this ain't enough. Think about that. Coming from not having a family and working hard to obtain a family, then to say this ain't enough. Man, I was in a bad, bad, bad place. And when you what ends up happening is people who mean well, and I, you know, one of the things I want to talk, one of the things I want people to look at is that when people have cries for help, you know, I was honestly was crying out for help. I really was reaching out to people. I really was making comments, you know, in my way. But guess what? Very few people picked up on it. Very few people picked up on it. And that became a sense of isolation and loneliness for me. So then I felt like here I am for, I'm out here helping everybody. In my mind, again, these are my thoughts. I'm helping everybody. I'm there for everybody. People could literally, and I still got the phone locks to prove it, would call or text me 2-3 in the morning, and I'm there, Johnny on the spot, texting, boom, 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 whatever you need. Yes, I'm there. I'm doing this. I'm running around. And then when I call you, you can't pick up the phone. No, or you're busy, or no, I can't do this because, or no. Man, that really... it really hurt me, man. I'm a, you know, learning that, you know, I'm an empath, meaning that I'm very empathetic. And when you're an empath, you tend to carry and you end up taking on other people's grief and pain. And so these same people that I invested in, these same people that I'm giving all this advice in, these same people that would come to me, they talking about killing themselves, and they're, guess what? I started thinking about killing myself. And now these people doing great. They, you know, they out here doing great. And I'm out here bad. I'm on medication. And that, you know, that was a hard blow. These past 2 years, it's been 2 years, man. This 2 years of a spiral, just a spiral going out of control where, you know, I did consider taking my life. I did consider just leaving my family. Like, I considered all of those things. And that is not a good place to be in at all. And so this podcast was an idea I actually had like 5 years ago, but I didn't do it, didn't have the discipline. I kind of toyed with it through Anchor on my phone, but it didn't sound right. And that's why I give a lot of, you know, credit to Joe Budden, listening to him and some of the things I picked up, you know, how this podcast is sort of formatted. I'll admit it's somewhat after him, but I'm going to change up a little bit because I got to find my voice. I want to find my voice. I want to find out what I do well. I want to find out, you know, what shows are the, you know, all of it is authentically me. But even in doing this, I want to find my voice. And part of that, even with this therapy that I'm going through, is really finding out who Ken is. Because I gave Ken to so many people that I don't know. I lost who I was. And I can admit that. I lost who I was because I gave it out to so many people. So with so many people, and I regret it? No. I don't regret helping people because honestly, everything I did out of the purity of my heart. It was no strings attached. It was no quid pro quo. It was none of you scratch my back, I scratch yours. I did it out of the purity of my heart and really wanting to see those people win. Really being those people's cheerleader, really want to see those students succeed, really want to see those coworkers go on to be the best, really want to see those people in my church home be better than where, you know, all of those things. The part about the flip side of that, however, was where does Superman go when Superman needs to be revived? And that's the part that I'm working through in therapy. That's the part of the relationship, you know, with my oldest son's mom, you know, how that ended. And again, nothing against her. She's a beautiful person. She's moved on. She's doing great. She's doing big things, and I'm proud and happy for her. So no regret or anger or anything animosity toward her. However, I had to go back because that trauma of when stuff ended and how it ended, it came back and it crept back out. And so that was part of that 2-year spiral. Like, okay, why is this coming back up? This is what's, you know, because I started to notice how I was moving in my new relationship. Like, whoa, like relationships, like, whoa, like what's going on? Why am I? And so therapy, therapy, therapy. I am going to wholeheartedly thank you to, I'm going to shout her out, Jessica. Thank you so much. I was able to thank you for the relationships that I do build with people, and they may not be tight, tight, super friendship, you know, Holly, and I'll call you every day, but thank God that I said, I can no longer be strong anymore. And I just text her, inboxed her, like, hey, she's a therapist and she recommended, you know, some good people and was able to get me in. And yeah, so I'm on the great road of recovery. Every day has been a much better day. And that's why this Christmas was so important to me, because it wasn't about the materialistic things. I got off work, and when I stepped in the house, I said, look, I just need this house to be full of laughter, full of joy. Just, you know, because we are a naturally joyful family and having fun. And so I just needed that. And it was great. You know, the kids was great. Everybody was taken care of. It was just great. And so this podcast for me is, yes, it's therapy for me, because I can get my thoughts out, my perspective out. Learning to get sharper on my articulation and my speaking skills, because that was something that came naturally to me, but for the past couple of years, I was becoming a little sluggish on that. And so even in this is helping me. I go back into listen, you know, to past podcasts. I'm like, come on, Ken, you need to get back sharp. And so this is my gift to the world to be able, I don't know who this particular episode is going to reach. So whoever is listening to this episode now, and it's no, what's the word I'm looking for? It's no coincidence that you're listening to this on the day of Kwanzaa when it comes to purpose. I want you to know that you have a purpose, and that purpose is to evolve. That purpose is to, if you do F it up, that you can make it right. Man, don't let the demons of your life hold you down. I've been in a dark place. I know what darkness feels like. I know what loneliness feels like. I know where you can sit in a car with your son and still want to leave. There's certain things I can identify, but there's other things I can't identify with. But I do want to encourage you to say, you are worth it. You are worth it. You are loved. You are trusted. You are respected. Somebody out there loves you. Somebody out there trusts you. And somebody out there respects you. And Ken of Ken's Corner Podcast, that's what this movement is about. It is about, yes, there's going to be lighthearted moments. People may think I'm anti-white. No, I'm not anti-white. I'm anti-white supremacist, but I'm not anti-white. I want people to win. I want love to win. That's why 143, shout out to Music Show Child. 143, I love you. I want love to win. And when love wins, we win. We all win when love wins. And so if you're thinking about committing suicide, please, 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 man, please get to the National Suicide Helpline. Please call somebody. Please have a safety team. Please have a safe, because I have a safety team around. I want to go, the National Suicide Prevention Hotline is 1-800-273-8255. Again, that's 1-800-273-8255. Again, it's very important that you, if you feel that way, yes, I felt that way, but I never made a plan. That was very important. My therapist said, because I never made a plan, that was very important. However, since you thought about it, you have to be on guard. So I have a safety plan. I have people who check on me. I have all of those things in place. And I'm going to vow each day to do better, to be happy. And I just take it one day at a time, man. One day at a time. So with that being said, I want to just thank you so much for that. That was a load to get off. It was a load to get off. I think one of the hardest things was telling my brother and my mom to that, because I didn't want to seem like a failure to them. And again, I know that having that doesn't mean I fail. But when you're used to being Superman, or you believe that you're Superman to your family, you don't want to have those chinks or those weaknesses but honestly, I had to learn in my weakest point is when I showed my most strength, and my most strength was saying, hey, I need help. And so as I continue to do this, I'm just going to continue to encourage people. I'm going to continue to have fun. But when I have my moment, that's what I got my mic for. And I want y'all to continue to check in. Check on me, man. Send me out something. I didn't do this for this is. And again, this is not a publicity stunt. This is not a sympathy move. I wanted to end this year and leave this in this year, because 2020, I'm going to do something that I rarely do. And that is actually make some resolutions and make a new vision board and post it over here, over my work area. And we're going to do it together. So with that being said, I want to say Happy New Year. When I hear you again, or you hear me again, because I won't hear you. When you hear me again, we'll be in the new year, 2020. And so with that being said, I want to say I love, I trust, and I respect you. Thank you so much for this 2019 and being with me through the Ken's Corner podcast. Again, this is Ken, and see ya later. Peace out.